Welcome to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. There are now two promising COVID-19 vaccine candidates that have shown high degrees of effectiveness in clinical trials. Last week, Pfizer announced that its vaccine cut one's chances of experiencing COVID symptoms by 90%. And yesterday, Moderna's vaccine showed 94.5% efficacy in early results. It's worth emphasizing that this is early data that is yet to be published in a peer-reviewed scientific journal, and both vaccines are still subject to FDA review and approval. Nevertheless, these developments are promising. Here is Dr. Anthony Fauci yesterday on NBC's Today Show talking with host Savannah Guthrie.
So now we have two vaccines that are really quite effective. So I think this is a really strong step forward to where we want to be about getting control of this outbreak.
And I won't hold you to it because I recognize that it's the FDA that determines emergency use approval. But the general timeline, you and I have been talking about timelines since going back to March. What do you think the timeline is for these vaccine candidates to be available? Shots in the arms.
Yeah, what I think is going to happen, Savannah, is it's going to be all hands on deck. Everybody is going to do it correctly. They're not going to cut any corners, but they're going to do it quickly. We project that by the end of December, that there will be doses of vaccines available for individuals in the higher risk category from both companies, we hope. And this is something that we're looking forward to.
As we just heard, vaccines for those in high-risk categories could be available as soon as the end of December. And last week, Dr. Fauci told CNN he predicts that anyone in the general public should be able to get vaccinated by the end of April 2021. But questions remain about the safety of a vaccine and challenges of distributing it. Joining us now to help answer some of those questions are Dr. Richard Novak, Chief of Infectious Diseases at the University of Illinois, Chicago, and the lead investigator of the Phase 3 clinical trials for the Moderna vaccine at UIC. Hello, Dr. Novak. Welcome back to the 21st.
Thanks for having me.
We also have Ryan Gabrielson, reporter for ProPublica and co-author of a recent piece called Most States Aren't Ready to Distribute the Leading COVID-19 Vaccine. Hello, Ryan. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Listeners, we want to invite you into our conversation at 800-222-9455. The number again, 800-222-9455. For the next two segments, we'll have our phone lines open for any questions or concerns you might have about COVID vaccines. Again, our lines are open at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Or you can tweet us at 21st Show. Dr. Novak, I want to begin with you. At UIC, you worked on the Moderna vaccine clinical trials. What can you tell us about the data released from Moderna yesterday about its effectiveness, and what does this mean for a vaccine?
Well, frankly, I think the results are incredible. We're powered to get 50% efficacy as a minimum, and the vaccine showed, as you said, 94.5% efficacy in its initial look, which is an incredible result, frankly. And, it means for us that there are now these two licensed vaccines. I have to add that, both these vaccines are RNA-based vaccines. They are very similar in design. They are using basically nearly identical antigens, which is the thing that triggers the immune response. There are two enormous studies that were done independently. The Pfizer vaccine had 44,000 people in it, and the Moderna 30,000 people, and they came up with nearly identical results, nearly identical efficacy, which is a striking testament to the science, frankly, and it really says this is an irrefutable result.
And so that's validating to you, the idea that they both use the same sort of underlying technology, even though it's a new technology, that they had similar effectiveness percentages?
It's more than validating. I mean, this is what we'd call a home run in the vaccine business. I mean, you can't get any better than this, especially given the enormous size of these vaccine trials. That gives it enormous statistical power to show efficacy. I mean, it just cannot be refuted.
So, Ryan, I want to bring you into the conversation. Now, your recent piece you co-authored for ProPublica, as I said, is called Most States Aren't Ready to Distribute the Leading COVID-19 Vaccine, and it's premised on a review of states' distribution plans. But before we get into what you found in your reporting, I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about that. I mean, what are the states supposed to do? What is going to be their role in getting this vaccine from the companies that are making it to shots in the arm?
Well, they're responsible for doing a lot of the hard work, the administrative work of both deciding specific locations of where the vaccine will go, where providers will actually put shots in the arm, and also for tracking who got what shot, when, and where. And it's because one of the things, one of the features of these vaccines is they're two dose. Both of the first two leading candidates are two dose, and you can't, they're not interchangeable. If you get the Pfizer vaccine first dose, you got to get the Pfizer vaccine second dose, and the same goes for Moderna. And so the federal agencies and Pfizer and McKesson, who are in charge of distributing on a large scale, will get the vaccine to the states essentially, but in terms of actually deciding where it needs to go to get it into people's arms to actually inoculate the population, the states are doing all of that heavy lifting.
So your story in ProPublica goes into quite a bit of detail about Illinois' plan specifically, and it highlights Mount Vernon Countryside Manor, which is a nursing home in southern Illinois, 100 miles east of St. Louis. What did you learn in speaking with them about the challenges of getting a vaccine to some of these more remote communities in need?
Well, one of the things we found out when our story fixated primarily on the Pfizer vaccine in particular, because at that point that we didn't have any results on Moderna, and Pfizer's is the sort of the first in the chute, is Pfizer vaccine in particular is a difficult to distribute. It has to be kept at ultra cold temperatures, approximately negative 100 degrees Fahrenheit. And Pfizer, at least to date, has said that it is shipping this in only 1,000 dose quantities. And breaking those down and redistributing is very complicated when you have to keep it at ultra cold. So it's going to primarily be targeted or used in high population centers, major cities, where you can both have the ultra cold storage, and you have so many people that the first wave of people to get this are going to be universally healthcare workers, people on the front lines who are keeping us caring for us in hospitals. So you need to have a huge number of those people in one place to get inoculated. Rural areas simply don't have either the ultra cold storage or the numbers. And so in some cases, states are just saying very plainly, we don't know that we're going to get an ultra cold vaccine to them, or they're not really much addressing it at all, which is a lot of states, and Illinois is one of them. So how an ultra cold vaccine will get to them is an open question. Moderna's vaccine is different though, and actually increases, makes it a much more hopeful situation. If you have two, perhaps one, a Pfizer vaccine can go to major population centers, and a Moderna, which doesn't have to be kept nearly as cold and is being packaged in much smaller quantities, can go to rural areas. That's still to be determined, but it's certainly a more hopeful situation when you have more options.
Well, let me ask Dr. Novak about that then. Can you talk about the differences between the Moderna vaccine and the Pfizer vaccine, and what about this storage difference and what that might mean for the portability and distribution of the various vaccines?
Sure. We call it cold chain when you have to transport a cold product like that from one place to more rural places where you have to maintain temperature in order to distribute it. And that's always a concern in vaccine development because it's not simply an idea of making a vaccine. You've got to actually deliver it, as Ryan was stating. So. Moderna has an advantage there in that they've demonstrated their vaccine can be stored at minus 4 degrees centigrade, which is, or minus 20 centigrade, 4 degrees Fahrenheit, which is what the temperature is in your kitchen freezer, basically. And so it's much easier. And it's actually stable for 6 months at that temperature. And it's stable at refrigerator temperatures for 30 days. So even after you've thawed it, it remains stable for 30 days. And it has the advantage that it doesn't require any special preparation. You can just draw it out of the vial and inject it into a person. So it's well designed from that point of view. Pfizer is ahead of the game in terms of production compared to Moderna. Moderna is estimating they'll have about 10 million doses ready by the end of December, and whereas Pfizer believes they'll have about 50 million doses ready by that time. So scale up of production is really a major concern right now.
And these are both two-dose vaccines, right? If you have 10 million doses, that's 5 million individuals who could get the vaccine.
That's right.
Okay.
So we need a lot more than that, obviously.
Yeah. Listeners, if you're just joining us, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about the latest developments for a COVID-19 vaccine and some of the challenges that remain. We're speaking with Dr. Richard Novak, Chief of Infectious Diseases at the University of Illinois, Chicago, and lead researcher on a clinical trial for the Moderna vaccine, which, as we just heard, yesterday announced more than 94% effectiveness. And we're also speaking with Ryan Gabrielson, reporter for ProPublica, who's been covering the potential challenges of actually distributing the vaccine. If you have questions, you can join our conversation at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. We got some responses from listeners via text message from our Text the 21st group about vaccine safety. I want to read a few of them. Christine in Savoy says, I want the vaccine to go through rigorous testing. Don't want unintended consequences down the road. Stephen in Savoy says, I would want documentation from a peer review of the vaccine that includes Dr. Fauci's signature. I would want distribution centers akin to the community testing sites that have been available. I would ask that they follow up after each vaccine administration to track side effects and efficacy. And Carrie in Champaign says, I'd like to know the process for testing and vetting the vaccine. How do we know it's safe? I mean, there's a few questions in those responses. Ryan, why don't I start with you? Will there be community distribution centers? Will the vaccines be free? Will people have to pay for them? What do we know about that so far?
The understanding is that the vaccine will certainly be free. The federal government has already paid in large part for this vaccine. I missed part of that first question.
About community distribution centers. And I guess that's one of the questions as to how these will actually be distributed and to where.
So a lot of the, especially in Illinois, the state will be working with community partners. They'll be working with like county health departments and dictating what hospitals have the capacity and infrastructure to distribute. And also whether or not they're going to be setting up, say, mobile clinics in certain or large scale immunization setups in convention halls and the like. So that all will be coordinated with local officials from the state level rather than the federal.
And Dr. Novak, some of those other questions in there, we know that the vaccines have shown efficacy. What do we know about side effects from the trials so far?
Well, all vaccines have some minor side effects, and this one is no different. The Moderna is the one I can speak to the most because that's the trial we participated in. And so those side effects are similar to flu vaccine. Some people get body aches, some get fatigue, usually fever, low-grade fever is not uncommon. And it usually lasts for a day or two, usually not beyond that. What actually was striking in the report from yesterday was that the side effect profile was actually really favorable, and only about 5 to 10% of people experienced those side effects. And in my firsthand experience, it's a two-dose vaccine. Few people got any reaction to the first dose. The second dose was more likely to cause a reaction. And I've spoken with many of our participants who had those reactions. And, you know, you take take Tylenol or ibuprofen and the symptoms are gone by the next day.
All right, I want to take now a call from one of our listeners, Asa. Are you in Niantic? Thanks for calling in. What is your question?
I'm from Niantic. My question is, I'm an immunosuppressed individual, and I wanted to know, will my immediate family be also being vaccinated at the same time I am, for the safety of that situation or not?
Okay, thank you. That's a good question. I'm not sure. We have only about a minute left before we need to take a break. But Ryan, I don't know if you know the answer to that from having looked at Illinois' plan. If somebody is immunocompromised, does their whole household sort of get piggybacked onto their vaccination, or is that yet to be determined?
So the individual themselves, the person who is immunocompromised, the healthcare worker, the person age 65 or older, is those individuals themselves rather than the larger, at least as it's spelled out in the plan so far, it is the individual at greatest risk rather than the people around them who also increase their risk. But we, especially in wave one of the distribution, we are going to have very limited supply, as Dr. Novak pointed out. The ramp up district of, of manufacturing is going to take a little while. And so when you only have enough for, between 10 and 40 million Americans, you can't vaccinate households. You have to target the person who's most likely to become seriously ill and die.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a break here. Dr. Novak, we're going to ask you to stick around for our next segment. For now, I want to thank Ryan Gabrielson, reporter from ProPublica, for sharing some of his reporting on a COVID-19 vaccine and challenges to getting it distributed, particularly in rural communities like those in Illinois. Ryan, thank you for coming on today.
Thank you for having me.
Listeners, more to come after a short break. Stay with us. We'll be right back.